will cleanse our sins.
Yeah. And then found a torture floor.
Torture floor. I think that's our new band name.
I was going to say great death metal album title at the very mm-hmm. least. Torture floor. We're like tortured in your body with steroids until you try to hire someone to kill your wife. Am I right? Am I right?
What seamless. A
great seamless. Segue. Hey everybody, this is the Two Decades Too Late podcast. I am Brad with Josh.
What's up?
I'm very proud of that segue, by the way.
That's really good. Really well done.
This is the podcast where we review albums, mostly metal, for whatever it's worth, that are turning 20 years old. This week is Frail Words Collapse by Azalea Dying, and we're just going to get this out of the way right now. Fuck that guy. If that wasn't an undercover cop, his wife would probably be dead, and he served 2 years in prison, which is not very long. There are people with weed charges yeah. from the three strikes law from the 90s that have been in for most of their lifetime, and this piece of garbage served 2 years for trying to have his wife murdered. So we just want to say right up front that I hate him enough that Ken Susie blocked me on Instagram. I do not support him and his endeavors at this point. I don't begrudge the other people in Azalea Dying at this point for making a living being in a band. I get it. I actually was very good friends with Ryan Neff growing up. I am not begrudging him or anyone else that is trying to make a living in music. But I do not support this guy still making a living himself, and I wish that the rest of them were making a living otherwise, but I get it. And yeah, that's it. Fuck him. But this album's too important. We have to talk about it. And I don't even think anyone even cares that he tried to murder his wife anymore at this point, because he got out of prison in 2016 and... I don't. It's been a long time, so I don't even think this is maybe even worth mentioning. But I'm mentioning it, so we can move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now with that out of the way.
Yeah.
So wait, what about Ryan Neff?
Ryan Neff's in Azalea Dying. He's their bassist.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he's been in the band, I think, for like a year or two now. Probably not quite that long, but he recorded their new album on clean vocals and bass.
I had no idea. I thought he was still with Miss May I.
He may be. He could be doing double duty. I don't know. But like, and again, if someone was going to offer me to make more money than I'm making in my current career to go play music, my morals would sink to the ocean floor, and I would probably do it. So,
dude, yeah, you play with As I Lay Dying. It's just what you do.
Yep, I probably would not hang around him.
In large part because of this album.
Yeah, it'd be hard not to. It was a game changer, and I mean, so we talked last week about one of our bands basically being a ripoff of Darkest Hour, and our band after that was a ripoff of this. So,
well, you had to be. I mean, like every show you were going to, people were warming up, and it was like, who can play forever? Who can play 94 hours?
Yeah. Yeah. It was the, like, can your drummer do the double bass in 94 hours? Like,
it was the epitome of speed for double bass.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unless you heard a Cannibal Corpse album from like 1991, then it's like, oh. So people have been doing that for a long time. But yeah, at the time it was just like total game changer. Absolute game changer. I mean, the first kill switch.
Since you're in the mood you are, you want to just get the metalcore thing out of the way?
Yeah, if no one would know this, I guess. I don't know how much of the intro I'm going to keep in, but I'm very angry today and I don't have a reason why, but... this is a metalcore band and a metalcore album. Suck a dick if that bothers you. It's 2023. I don't know why it bothered anyone in 2003. It's a perfect way to describe a band or sound that is both metal and hardcore. You bitches.
So AllMusic didn't even say metalcore, but they did say this album is a solid example of its genre. They avoided metalcore altogether.
Oh my god.
But they're like, this is the epitome of what that is.
I didn't know. Maybe it was like maybe I woke up with a premonition of you telling me that fact. That is infuriating. Oh my god. Anyway.
Yep, they skirted right around it.
Okay. I'm gonna punch a hole in my wall and we're done recording this.
Do it live.
Yeah, well, hopefully
fucking beer, thing sucks.
The beer that I'm drinking far too early in the day satiates me. It's fine. Or sedates me, rather.
Yes. Either.
Yeah, both. Yeah. But yeah, it sounds like you did a better job on the research portion. I mean, I do know that, obviously, Tim Lambesis. Is that how we're... That's how that's pronounced? Lambesis?
That's what we're going with. Okay. I'm not sure, but that's what I'm saying.
Okay, cool. Again,
I'm not
going
to put in the effort to find out because that guy sucks.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was going to say. I'd probably look it up if I didn't think he was a douche. Let's be real. This is his project at this point and probably really has always been his thing rather than a band. I'm sure people contributed and everything as time went on, and obviously, but he had really talented musicians with him for most of their lifetime. Their bass is in Spirit Box now, right?
Boy, I don't know.
I think that's...
Might be. The name sounded familiar.
Yeah, I think that's true. Oh, Ken Susie is a permanent member of Hasley Dying now. Okay, well, that explains it a little better. Sorry, Ken. I'm not. Yeah. Why would you... Unearth's a better band. Anyway, it's fine. So what do you know? What do you know about these hooligans?
I know that this album was pretty good, and these hooligans specifically did a so Tim L. produced, like... He produced the album, and it seems like he's produced most of their stuff. Co-produced the follow-up album with Adam D.
Mm.
But so As I Lay Dying, California band. They formed in 2000, so they were only active for 3 years at this point. As I Lay Dying,
man, that's
the
pretty
guitar
quick.
Player, and yeah, that was pretty quick. And so they had one release prior to this, Beneath the Encasing of Ashes. So that the do you remember the Long March that they released?
Yeah.
It was basically a re-release of that album.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. I vaguely remember that.
So
all right. Okay. So I mean, we can go they had a ton of members as Lay Dying did. And it is what it is. They all came back after the whole getting out of prison thing. And like
that old chestnut,
that old thing. But you know, and most of them quit pretty shortly after. It seemed like I remember reading comments from the guitar player who I can never remember the name of, Nick Hippa. Who's such a good guitar player, like not shredding your face off, but like his technique and how he just everything he played sounded perfect. But anyway, also a beautiful man, just beautiful man. The way he explained it, he didn't say it was because he couldn't live with himself, but like he did the tone of it was, that's how I read it. So good for them. But I think that was the lineup for the most part, as far as I knew. The Nick Hippa, the oh man, what was that drummer's name that was there for most of the time? Jordan Mancino.
Yeah,
and those dudes. That's the lineup I remember. I know. I mean, I assume that that was the lineup for most of the albums, because I don't remember. I remember changes with the bass player, and because their clean vocals changed, so I know their bass player changed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I know their lead guitar player, well, rhythm guitar player changed a few times, but for this one, you were saying it was just a three-piece?
Yeah, I think so. Jordan Mancino, the drummer, Evan White, and Tim Lambesis.
Nice.
Lambesis? Lamb Chop?
Tim Lamb Chop? Tim... Yeah. He's Lamb Chop now. We're calling him Lamb Chop.
Yep.
We don't even need the Tim.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, nope. Same. So yeah, Lamb Chop was really involved. He basically is the whole band. But yeah, okay. All of this aside, this album was such a big deal.
It really was, and I didn't realize at the time how good it is until going back to re-listen to it. And the point you made about the guitar player who's not even on this CD. It's more technical than I ever realized.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I tend to think back on that era and this particular, microcosm of music with, Zayo and Asley Dying and all that stuff.
Yeah.
As being, really basic, and it's just not. It's not.
No.
Part of me just thinks because we could play it that it was basic, but no, it really wasn't. And you're right. It was way more technical than I remember. It was a lot more varied than I remember. There are times where they're just doing the straightforward, I want to say basic, but at the time it wasn't, but basic metalcore thing, you know? But then there were times where they kind of went the route of Zayo and did the more dissonant, kind of chaotic stuff. I mean,
This album has everything. Chugs, dissonance, hoombas, and Chino-style vocals.
Is that from a review?
No.
No? Well done. Look at you.
No, Stefan popped in my head when I was thinking of this.
Yeah, good job.
Hoombas are human Roombas, by the way. Look that up.
Oh, man. It had
one of the reviews did say, though, it took a bag of kind of death metal stuff. And I was sometimes it just felt like they were shaking the bag and dumping it out on the table. And this is what came out this time. And then on the next song, did it again. And this is what came out this time. And I do feel that a little bit.
I do too. And not, but in a good way. Because it works well. To his credit, Lamb Chop for producing the record, the track, the way they put the order of the tracks was really well done, mm-hmm. because it kept it interesting the entire time. It was just when you're are we really going to cry again? It was crazy chaos song. I dig that a lot. In my notes, I essentially said and I guess I kind of already said it, but they took the chaos of Zayo, combined it with the melody of Swedish or Scandinavian melodic death metal and some post-hardcore Thursday and put it all together. And the results at the time was very unique. I mean, it obviously became not unique at all. And the market oversaturated with that very quickly. Someone was like, holy shit, drop C, harmonic minor, get out of here, everything go.
This is great.
Yeah, because it was great. I mean, it was just genuinely great. I don't really have a whole lot of bad to say about it.
Weirdly, I did find myself as I was prepping for this kind of drifting in and out sometimes.
Yeah,
but like you said, the track list is so well laid out, it always found a way to kind of pull you back in. So if it doesn't always hold your attention, it at least knows when to re-grab it.
Yeah, no, that's well said by you. I totally agree. And I will say, this is one of those albums, back in the day, I listened to absolutely to death. I mean, it was just in my CD player for probably 6 straight months. So my first listen through for this, it felt Brand New Again. What is that? Do we remember what that's from? It's fucking Brand New Again.
It's fucking Brand New Again. I think it's a CKY bit.
Yeah, it almost has to be. I can't. Yeah, it has to be a CKY bit. But yeah, it was fucking Brand New Again. And then second listen through, I immediately like it's like my brain remembered like you've done this dance before, like, right. And to your point, I was going drifting in and out pretty hard. So I mean, like, yeah. It was one listen through was like, man, this is, I don't remember it even. I mean, it blew my mind at the time, but I don't remember it being that well done because I just don't think I appreciated music at the time in the same way that I do now. But it, yeah,
I was surprised at how much of it I remembered too. Like, I never would have thought that I listened to the whole CD because you remember 94 hours, you remember forever. But like, as you go down the track list, you're like, oh damn, I forgot about this song. Like this song was great.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And you know what's funny? I spent like years. You know how like you're trying to remember a band or whatever, and you can never get there. And then somewhere there was a breakdown that I had stuck in my head for probably 10 years. Like, and I was like, I don't remember what it's from. It's such a good breakdown. And I thought it was As I Lay Dying, but I could never find it. And go figure, it was on this album, track 7, Undefined. God, that break.
I had noted in my notes, like, for that song, another sick breakdown.
And it was that breakdown, and I was so happy. Oh, my God. I was like, that just, like, fixed a problem I've had for most of my adult life. So I was really glad that that's where it was. But you're right. You've got the hits, but, like, I don't know. Even, like, track 2, it's short. It starts with blast beats, though, and it's real sick and, like, because the riff's really basic, but the blasts make it interesting. And then that's one that's got, like, a Zao feel to me, track 2. And I was like, after 94 hours, which is so, like, blueprint of metalcore going forward, it was cool that right away on track 2, they were like, but don't worry about it. We've got this whole thing, too. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, they did
that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. This is something I ran
like on song 10. Like, it's like a nice almost instrumental that kind of would have seemed out of place, but they had already kind of set it up with Behind Me Lies Another Fallen Soldier.
Like, yeah, it's funny. Here are my notes for song 10. Teenagers feeling their feelings.
Yeah.
I will say a
little on the nose.
Yeah. I will say that song, I'm glad it's there. I don't know if it needed to be that long. They could probably have made the point within like 2 minutes rather than 4. But you know what? It's fine because then you go to track 11, The Pain of Separation, and he does straight up death metal like vocals. And it's like sick. Like, and it's pretty chaotic, and yeah, I mean, what? And I don't know if you agree with this. One of the hard things I had to like turn off in my brain, like track 4, Collision. In 2003, nothing about this was generic, right? But with my 2023 ears, I had to keep reminding myself of that because like Collision is so metalcore 101,
right?
Like, nothing about it is special right now, but I had to keep reminding myself, like, but it wasn't generic yet. Like, people are still were just doing this. Like, this was one of the first instances of whatever you would call generic metalcore, but it can't be generic if it started the trend, more or less. I mean, you know, you can argue that, I'm sure, but I'm saying this specific formula to what metalcore was and what As I Lay Dying did for most of their albums. They got more interesting as time went on, but it wasn't generic yet. And I had to keep telling myself, like, I know it sounds generic now, but it wasn't in 2003. And
I write all of these parts, and I can do that because they wrote all of these parts.
Exactly. Did you have any problems with that, or was it just like...
I don't think so. Not so much. You know, I was hearing and I was like, oh yeah, like they were doing this. I found myself catching the stuff that I didn't catch at the time, like the stuff outside, kind of the metalcore specific genre bits.
Yeah.
So like little drum fills here and there and little technical bits and riffs and like precision that I didn't expect. I was like, oh, okay. Because you're right, like at this point I've heard all of that other stuff, so I kind of just tuned it out and found new stuff to dig up.
And that's really, because at the time, right, we were, that wasn't our focus. Our focus was like, I need to do a third harmony on guitar in drop C minor, and the drums are going to go snare, kick, snare, kick, snare, kick, snare, kick. Like that was like, and then we're going to put that's a breakdown it. After.
Yep.
So that's what we focused on at the time in this album. But you're right. The listen through now is just like, it was so much easier to appreciate. Like Distance is Darkness. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That song is so good. The dissonance is awesome. The snare following the guitar is sick. Like, and he, again, doing death metal lows. Like, it's
got the Chino awesome. Style vocals at the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Yep. Yeah. Like, whoever Jared, I guess that's who was credited for doing the Chino style stuff. J-A-R-R-O-D. I literally wrote, who is Jared? Don't know, but they rule because they sound like my favorite vocalist of all time, Chino Marino.
Jar Rod.
Yeah, Jar Rod. Yeah, like, so I don't know who that is. Kudos to you, buddy, wherever you are. He, she, they, whatever. I have no idea, but you crushed it. And it added such a cool thing. Like, God, that song's so good. And it's 2 minutes and 37 seconds, which is even better.
I know.
Sometimes I just want a song to fucking be a train keeping on rolling over you over and over and over, says the Spawn guy from the 1990 Spawn movie.
Is that John Leguizamo?
It is John Leguizamo. John Leguizamo was a short, fat clown from hell. So that's cool. Good call by you, though. This album was it was just really, really easy to find more in it than I did when we listened to it.
Yeah, it really was.
Another one that I love, track 8, 1,000 Steps, 1:45, by the way. Love everything about that. But so like,
I wrote down that I zoned out for the entire song, except obviously the hot mess at the end.
Yeah, well, that was the end is so sick. Like, they're just doing tritone chords and all that. It's dissonant as shit. It's almost bad. It's like right up to the point of bad that it's great. That I love. It's just literally just again, another chaotic. I just don't know if I wanted bands to, at the time I wanted bands to be what I wanted them to be. And so like, I think at the time I probably didn't like 1,000 Steps. Cause I'm like, I don't want Azalea Dying being chaotic. I want Zayo to be chaotic, right? Or I want Dillinger to be chaotic or whatever it is. And now it's like, oh no, they just did a really complex album that has a lot of cool shit.
Yeah, compartmentalize my music a little bit here.
Yeah, also
every one of these songs has something to love in it.
Agreed. Also, I know we already talked about it, but I said the teenagers feeling their feelings. How much more is that amplified by calling it song 10? That is the douchiest thing.
Yeah.
Like, again, I get
that. Even that set a precedent, though.
It did. You're right. People did it. Like,
people did it.
Yeah. I was like, you know, this song's so important, I don't even think it needs a title. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to beat a dead horse. It's really good. And I like it. It's funny how refreshing was this after listening to Hidden Hands of a Sadist Nation?
Oh my God. Yeah. I wanted to touch on that a little bit.
Good.
I saw 38 minutes and 44 seconds and I'm like, fuck yes. I could listen to this twice.
Right. In the same. Yeah. I just remember thinking, like, this is the funniest part. At the last song, Elegy, that I typed out, this intro's too long. Laughed out loud by myself in my office and said, no, it's not. It's fine. It's a 4 minute and 41 second song, which would have been the third shortest song on Hidden Hands of Sadist Nation. So it's fine. Maybe it was a little too long in the scope of the song for me, but yeah, in comparison, not at all.
Yeah.
Well,
did you ever listen to Converge much?
No.
Okay.
No, they're on, spoiler alert, they are on our list for 2024.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Like, I know Jane Doe is supposed to be, I think if I listened to.
So I never really did. But there's a lot of references in the reviews for this album to Converge as like an influence. So I'm excited to like dig into that and see where that's coming from.
Oh, that's interesting. Because I have listened to them now. Because I've listened to Jane Doe like 10 times. Because I really, they're like a Gojira for me a little bit, where like,
oh,
everyone is like, this band, dude, like it changed everything. Like,
I don't like Gojira. Come at me. I'll give you all my address. While we're at it, I don't like Sleep Token either.
Oh yeah, fuck Sleep Token. I don't even get that. I don't get it at all. Like, I mean, good for them. I am pro you getting to make a living making music. Dude, I'm jealous. So it's like when I'm a Blue Jackets fan, which is terrible. But it's like when people are like, yeah, you're just jealous of the Penguins. Yeah. Yeah, I am jealous of the Penguins, you motherfuckers. Like, that doesn't mean I don't hate them less, but yeah. Are you serious? I'm jealous of Sleep Token for making a living off making music. That doesn't mean I like their music. It's terrible. Terrible's a little harsh. It's just underwhelming for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Everyone was making it sound like it was the craziest shit in the world, and I was like, oh, I gotta listen to this band. It's like, okay, this is boring. Okay, I'll go listen to something else now. But like,
they got the sleep part right, am I right?
Hey-o! But that's how I felt. So that's how I feel about Converge and Gojira. I have no problem with either band, and I don't dislike listening to either. It's fine. Just people are like, you don't even know. I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. I don't like none of it's bad. I think what I was saying, like the Phantom, the movie from the like 90s with Billy Zane, where he's in that purple like skin suit. That's a terrible movie. But at the time I was young and starved. I was really into comic books and I was starved for superhero content. And it wasn't like it was now where there's a superhero movie coming out every 3 months. So I loved, or even the first Daredevil with Ben Affleck, or even the,
dude, that one was good.
Yeah, well, and what was the Elektra, right? Elektra, everyone hated it. But I can watch it now, and I like it because I watched it at the time, and it did something for me that I needed. So I get when people are like, man, Converge changed the game. And I'm like, yeah, but I missed it. And now I don't have that reference point to connect it to how impactful it was, because by the time I had gotten there, everyone had already ripped them off. And I'm
right.
I don't think any of this really particularly sounds like Converge at all. Actually, from what I've listened to, Converge is chaos in a way that I do truly think no one else does it like that. Like, and As Lay Dying's chaos is very controlled, and it's like they're trying to combat being melodic because they want to be melodic by making a dissonant thing, which still has a structure and still like. It's a very, very controlled chaos, whereas Converge is not. it's not controlled at all in a way that I get why it blew their minds. I do. I understand it. Like, if I would have heard Jane Doe the year that it came out, I would have had no point of reference for that. And I would have been like, what? It's like Blood Has Been Shed. We talked about on there.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I heard that when it came out and I was like, what is this? I have no idea what this is. This is great. So I'm sad.
Yeah, and I missed that moment.
Yeah.
Like you said. So.
Yeah. So I'm sad that I missed those moments for those bands, because I'm sure it was a thing to behold, but I don't really get the comparison. I think when we get to the Converge album next year, we'll have to bring that up, because I have a feeling we're not going to find a line between the two at all, but maybe I'm wrong.
There was a lot of references to In Flames too, which I didn't really get either, but I picked up on the last song. I was like, as I was reading it, I was like, okay, I get it. But this doesn't put me in the mind of like, oh, these dudes were definitely influenced by In Flames.
Well, it's that I do get that one more. I actually called out Scandinavian melodic death metal a few times in my notes, but
yeah,
it's one of those things where you like hear it and you think you know what it is, but you apply like your brain to it on a guitar and it comes out different. Like that's
right. Yeah. 'Cause
like if you listen to like Horacle by In Flames, there are a lot of, again, third harmony, like things that metalcore ended up implementing in a more simplified, like In Flames at the time, with, I'm going to say Horacle specifically, because I'd be surprised if that wasn't an influence with most of these bands at this time, but they weren't really necessarily pushing to be catchy. It's just kind of what came out, and I think metalcore at this time was trying at times specifically to be catchy, so they implemented
for
the
sure.
same concept in a different way. You know what?
Makes sense.
Someone listening to this is going to say, that's exactly what happened with Converge, you fucking idiot. And I'm going to go, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm
this
sure
it's just too good. I got to find a way to make money on this.
Yeah. So I'm sure I just talked myself right into being wrong. But, you know, that's going to happen. I think a lot. So
a lot.
You can say it. And I already know. So, you know. What are you going to do?
Yeah, hit us up in the comments. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever you need to do, man. It's fine. I don't care. But. what do you think?
You should be in this mood every time we record an episode. This is pure gold.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe that's just my Sunday now. I just wake up and go, I hate fucking everything. But, yeah. Time for the review.
Time for the review.
Yeah! All right.
Awesome. You want to start with album art?
Let's start with album art.
Right.
Why don't you go ahead? Why don't you go? Why don't you tell me?
I will
what you think.
Go. So I totally never really realized that it had words on it. I'll start with that. So, you know, never really, who pays attention to album artwork, you know?
I know.
People do.
A lot of people.
Actually.
Yeah.
Listen to our Blood Has Been Shed album. It's kind of a deal.
Yep.
But apart from that, I think it became pretty iconic. So, like, you can look at the cover of this album and you're like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what that was. I know where I was sitting. I know that time in my life.
Yep.
And, you know, as far as, like, artwork for this particular album, it's pretty good. And I think the skull kind of became their trademark from this forward, except for the newest album for whatever reason.
Oh, man, good call. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's good. I'll give it a solid 4.
Goodbye You. Who? The artwork. I know the basis for Killswitch did a lot of people's artwork at the time. Was that? Oh, man. Did you look up who did the artwork to this?
I couldn't find it.
Dude, it's the singer of Converge.
Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, man. Guys, you can, if anyone is listening to this in the future when we're probably all dead and re-evolved into like fish or something, you can you can shred me in the comments on this for being so tone deaf about the Converge part. I can't change my mind about it because it's all true. That's how I feel, but yeah. Yikes. I feel like I just like...
I wish we were better at this. I wish we were better at this.
Yeah, true.
I'll just say it.
Also, spoiler, we're never going to be. This is as good as it's ever going to be. So if you like it now, great.
Oh, yeah.
Stick around. If you don't...
Yeah.
Good call.
we got more for you.
Wow, that's impressive. So I love the artwork to this. I, too, didn't realize there were words on it. I think that adds a really cool texture that I thought were just like different colored like shades of lines or whatever at the time.
Yep.
But I love the organic like skull being created out of like texture rather than just being a skull.
Yeah, it's sick.
So I don't really have everything you said I agree with. And I also will give this a 4. So 4 for
hot,
both.
Hot damn.
Pretty good. Starting strong.
Starting off strong.
Yep.
Yeah.
what do you think about the production then and now?
So I don't know if we were intentionally saving this or if we just organically avoided it somehow, but the drums.
I was purposely trying to avoid it. Until this point.
I kind of thought you might be.
Yeah, and it was hard to do, to be honest with you. I kept almost saying things and thought, no, this is better suited for then. But go.
Stick with Lamb Chop until we get to it.
Exactly. Lamb Chop drums. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so obviously the drums are a thing. Triggers?
I don't...
Clicky track?
Man, one day if this ever becomes a thing, we'll do a Q&A or something, I hope, and I want one of you, if anyone's listening, to ask what clicky track is, and I can't wait to have that conversation. Clicky track matters to the two of us. Matters a great deal. I don't know what to say. Okay, my brain knows that fake drums were not anywhere nearly good enough to sound like this in 2003. My brain absolutely, 100%, objectively, factually knows that. But I kept having to remind myself that these drums cannot be fake. Because, like, they sound fake. Like, they
do sound fake.
And I'm not like a gearhead or production, I'm not super into that stuff on the technical side. Maybe they had... I'm assuming they had drum replacement at the time. Because that's not nearly as complicated of a thing. So I'm assuming that had existed for a while. Because I think drum replacement goes back like a long, long ways. Probably like early 90s, late 80s. And again, this is another thing someone's going to shred me on. But
Have you tried drum replacement therapy? If you're feeling oh down God. In the dumps.
That is worse than your OSU Buckeyes. Like, I don't even remember what the joke was, but I remember being like really like outwardly disappointed, but still thought it was very funny. Oh, man.
For just $1 a day.
Oh, Ronnie Deutsch. Yeah. Does anyone remember Ronnie Deutsch? $20? No? You didn't live in Springfield, Ohio in 1998? Yeah, clicky. Yeah, I just... It's crazy that they're not fake.
It is. I don't know if he had toms, but he definitely had a kick, a snare, and a crash.
Yeah, because that's it. I mean, that's it. Like... Yeah. Even when he plays like his hi-hat and he does the whole, like everyone does, the whole bell on the ride to the hi-hat move. They're so far in the background, and then he hits his snare, and it's just like, oh, great, my ears exploded, thanks. And his kick is just like, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say it sounds bad. My thought, now that you said Lamb Chop produced it, I love that.
Commitment to the bit here, folks.
Yeah, maybe that was like, I'm going to over EQ to make sure nothing is in its way. Like, I know you need to make sure frequencies aren't getting, you know, muddied together and all that stuff. And maybe that was his way to combat that. I don't know. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's clear. I mean, you do get everything. So
yeah. Agreed.
And all of these things we're saying were very noticeable at the time too. So
yeah, one of the few, I know we talked a lot about the differences between then and now and listening to it and the nuance and all that stuff. And that's all true. But even at the time we were like, man, listen to that. Is that kick like a snare? That's not a snare.
Is your kick drum head a block of wood?
Yeah, like that's some clicky ass kick drum. Clicky track.
Clicky kick. Okay, so what are we going to rate it then? I think I'll probably give it a 3. I'll stick middle of the road.
Yeah. You know what, though? The elusive Shy Halud album review that will never be heard. If I'm thinking of it at the time, you know, there's a lot of mud back then and a lot of noise and.
Yeah.
You're right. It's super clear, man. I might drums aside, even though I think that was just like a means to an end. So I don't even know if it's a bad thing as much as it's just like it sticks out, like it cannot be avoided.
Yeah.
Right. Man, I'm gonna give it a 4 for the now or the then mostly, because like not every if you didn't have Adam D at the time and you were in metalcore, your album was gonna sound poor. And once you got Adam D, your album sounded amazing.
Shadows are security.
Yeah, exactly. So the fact that he did it himself, you know, Lamb Chop did all right. I'll give it a 4.
He did do all right. Awesome. So if anybody's not new to the channel, you probably know where we're headed next and what the discussion's going to be based on what we've talked about thus far. But what kind of impact did it have on you at the time?
I don't even need to beat around the bush on this. It's a 5 all day long. I was like, man, yeah. You can make heavy shit that's super catchy. And like, man, this is like Alive or Just Breathing was already out. Right. Like, I think that was 2002. Yep. That blew my mind. That was like a game changer completely and utterly. And then Zayo, right. I want to say the big album for me from Zayo, which the title of the album is escaping me at the time, but I know I heard that before I heard this. Where Blood and Fire Brings Rest. So I didn't hear it when it came out. It came out in 98. I was not nearly evolved enough. I was still listening to a lot of Metallica and Megadeth at that point and new metal.
Right.
But Where Blood and Fire Bring Rest, I think I heard around the same time as I heard Alive or Just Breathing. And I remember thinking, like, man, this is cool that this genre has these wide spectrums. Where Zayo is just melting your face and whatever. And then Killswitch found a way to, like, harness, like, really heavy. I would argue Killswitch at the time was more obviously influenced by Scandinavian, like, melodic death metal, but... And then hearing this album, it was just like, man, they nailed the middle. Like, they just nailed it. Like, they're not as polished at times as Killswitch are trying. Like, they don't have that, like, oh, man, this chorus could almost be, like, on the radio. But, like, you know what I mean? But they're not, like, just ripping your face off Zayo style. And being all over the place, but man, they just nailed the middle ground. So I'd already heard those two bands, and then hearing Azalea Dying was like, God, this is everything I wanted at the time. It's everything I wanted.
Yeah.
So 5 all day, no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard five for me too, because like everything you just described, it being exactly what you wanted at the time, it was everything I wanted at the time, and it more than. So we put together a list of like 40 albums to try and review from this year, and more than any other on the list, this probably shaped my direction of music over the next few years, like what I wanted to listen to and what I wanted people to sound like. So a solid five for me. And you made a good point. This album actually charted for them. So like on the U.S. independent albums, charted at 30.
Damn.
And U.S. Heat Seekers album, 41.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I think they had to wait until Shadows Are Security to hit like the Billboard 200, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But like this was an impactful album.
Yeah, and any band at the time that sounds even like remotely like this, to if they were not to cite Azalea Dying as an influence, then they're just lying to you.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
And I understand the lie, right? I'm not gonna say that I don't get why you wouldn't want to, because it sounds so cliche, but you know, like,
and Winter, there was that whole other thing.
What was it? He tried,
I don't know, something about a lamb chop.
Was lamb?
Anyway, lame. Yeah.
You know, sometimes lamb chops gotta chop. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
Lamb chop, wasn't that the sock pup that was that?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Cool. So now that's so, guys. If you re-listen to this the whole time, anytime we reference lamb chop, don't picture not lamb chop. Picture the sock pup. And the sock...
I have been.
The sock puppet...
And it's hysterical.
...trying to have his wife murdered. Like a real roided-out sock puppet pops up right in front of an undercover cop, like, murder my wife! Sorry, that went off the rails more than I intended it to.
Pretty hard. Yep.
And if we ever get enough momentum with this, I will make a video with a sock puppet trying to convince an undercover cop sock puppet to have another sock puppet murdered. So, you know, if we ever have a Patreon, that's what you're going to be giving money toward me eventually making that video. I don't even remember what we were talking about. How much did you enjoy listening to this today, Josh? I'm just going to correct harshly.
Seamless transition. I'm going to downgrade it from a 5 to a 4. Like I said, I did find myself kind of drifting in and out, but it always pulled me back. But it was definitely like, I was like, I should listen to that, and then I would listen to something else. So I'll kick it down to a 4. I'll still go back and listen to it, and when it's on, I'm never upset.
All true.
But, yeah.
Question for you based on that. Do you think that some of that was from how much you listened to it previously? Because that's how I kind of felt. I felt almost like I wish if I didn't run this ragged in 2003, maybe I wouldn't have found myself drifting as much in 2023. You know what I mean? Like, and that's where I struggled with this rating specifically more than the rest of them, because I was like, is it fair for that part? I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. I don't think I was as influenced as you probably were. Like I said, I got to the tail end of the album and I was like, part of me was like, did I ever even listen to this? And then I was like, oh, I know this so very well.
Yeah, that's true enough. I'm so on the fence about this. Like, I think if we set the precedent that we can do 0.5, then the shit's just going to be gross. So I'm not going to do that.
We've done 0.5.
Have we done 0.5? Was it Shai Hulud?
It was.
So did we?
That's a damn.
Yeah, think about it. Because this is as close to a 4.5 as I'm probably going to get. You know,
I'm gonna say you rated it a 4.666.
Sick. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give it a 5. And I, as much as I don't, so I'm trying to not be subjective on something that is purely subjective. So I'm going to stop. I'm going to try really hard to stop doing that. I can't lie and say that I enjoyed listening to this so much more because I didn't have to listen to Hidden Hands of a Sadist Nation. I think any album you put in front of me, and I'm trying to again rate this based on my first listen through when, you know, we were doing our notes and stuff, not like if I listened to it today. But I was so happy that there were songs that were over in less than 8 minutes that, like,
yeah.
It was such a pleasure. Like, I think these are the most detailed notes I ever did track to track because I was just so engaged. Because I'm like, oh,
yeah,
listen to this just be over. Fantastic. When we're moving on to a thing that doesn't really sound like the last thing.
Like, wait, it's the next song? All I did was go take a shower. How could it be the next song already?
And not just that, I can tell it's the next song. Like, it's not like...
All right.
Yeah, so solid. I'm going to give it a 5. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 5.
Damn. So you ended up at an 18. And I ended up at a 16. I think. Yep.
Nice. That's pretty high, guys. I mean, out of 20, that's pretty good. I'm not super surprised.
It's super solid.
I'm almost kind of surprised that it's even that low. Because I just went even... Not listening to it, but when I saw it on the list at first, I was like, what are we talking about? Like, do we even need to listen to this again?
Fives across the board.
Fives across the board. Try to have
20 years can really change somebody.
True.
Do not do that.
Yeah. There are a lot of inappropriate jokes I want to make about sock puppets. Go ahead, Josh.
And before he gets to those, I'm just going to say, I'm Josh, he's Brad, and we were 2 decades too late.